Father, we thank you for the worship. We thank you for the hymns that have been written to help us to worship you and express what we want to say when we haven't got the words to say them. We thank you for being able to use them to bring our worship and commitment to you through song. But Father, now we turn to your word and ask it that you will open that word that we may be able to hear and see what it means for us in this day and in this age. So open our hearts and minds, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good evening. Right. I'm standing here looking at you. I don't know many of you very well. I know some of you reasonably well. And I'm thinking, I wonder how many risk takers there are here tonight. In here, I wonder if we've got any risk takers, and are quite happy to take risks in their lives. What's the biggest risk you've ever taken? For some, it is financial investment, maybe in work or financial investment in a house. That's a big risk, and you've made that and taken that risk. Maybe in a job, and at some point in your life, you've decided that what you're doing is not quite right for you, and taken the risk of moving to other employment, maybe to another town, to another city, another part of the country, another part of the world, may have been a risk that you took, have taken in your life. A career move, moved home. I look around and I think, yes, there's some people who are prepared to take physical risks here tonight. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there's people here tonight that have done parachute jumps and gone up a plane and just leapt out of a plane with a parachute on your back and taken that risk that the parachute will open up as you come down. And yeah, there's people who would do that here tonight, perhaps. Or even wing walkers. Have you seen those wing walkers where they get tied to the wings of a plane and then the plane takes off and then flies round? Some of you look like you might be people who are willing to do those sorts of things, I'm sure. Some people say that the biggest risk they take is getting up out of bed in the morning. That's as much as that they can manage as to get up into the morning. Others might say completely, I'm not someone who takes risk or watching a game show last night. And I don't know whether you watched, can't even remember the name of it, but you earn money for each answer that you get. And then you get to a certain point, don't you, and say, and are you prepared to risk so much money to go on to the next level of the competition and name three others? And they have to work out, is the risk worth it? Is it worth taking that risk to gain more finance in that way? Well, the reading, especially the second reading, the first reading, I wanted to read and to remind ourselves of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And Wynne brought us that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. So I wanted us to remind ourselves that and challenge us in our thinking of that for this evening. But our second Bible reading from Acts sees us late in Paul's three-year ministry in Ephesus, during which he had written to the Corinthian church, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. So you can imagine the sort of things that Paul was going through in his ministry in that particular town when he could write to another church, I fought with beasts. It's been so bad. But on other occasions, he was able to write to them, but a great door for effective ministry has opened to me. So the chances for him to minister was there, but there were many who opposed me, says Paul. And on this occasion, we see one of those opposition times that Paul was facing. We had read to us, and Brian brought to us that reading, and we heard about the fact there was a great disturbance arose about the way. It's a lovely phrase, the way. Luke uses it often in Acts of the Apostle. He uses it as a way of referring to those who followed the teachings of Jesus Christ. I think it's a lovely phrase. We are people of the way. And we are part of the way today in this town, and part of this church and the churches that we belong to. Because Christianity, our faith in Jesus Christ, is a way. It's a way of life. It's a daily walk. How people face their daily walk without knowing Jesus Christ in their hearts and lives. Many, many try to do it. But our lives, our Christian lives, are a way, a daily walk. It's not a Sunday duty. It's not, oh, we just go to church on Sunday, we'll sing a few hymns, or we'll hear a few Bible readings, and someone will say something to us, and then that's it, just confined to this building. Our lives are a daily walk with Christ. Wherever we find ourselves, whatever we're doing, we are on the way. And so Luke uses this lovely phrase. Perhaps we ought to use it more often to talk about what was happening to the Christians at this particular time. See, what had happened was the silversmiths, under the leadership of a trade union man called Demetrius, was making money from the selling of idols and shrines to the goddess Artemis. We heard that. They were promoting idolatry in order to make a very good living out of it. We just come back from Malta. And we passed many, many a shop that were making a very good profit from doing similar things, selling things made of silver to the various saints that they worshipped on the island. And these silversmiths and other craftsmen were doing a very good trade, and people would come to the town and they would buy off and take back with them to their own homes these idols and these shrines. On the other hand, Paul had been called to Ephesus to minister, and Paul is simply proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was telling people of Ephesus the good news of Jesus. This is what Jesus has done, and this is what Jesus can do for you in your life. And isn't it wonderful to read here that wherever the good news is preached, it has the power to change lives. You see, Paul had gone there and he was preaching faithfully the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus for everyone, for the whosoever in Ephesus. And the more he taught the truth, the more people believed in what he was saying and went out to witness to the lost. And as the more he preached and the more that came to know Jesus, the more that the word was preached and the more that got converted. And you can see what was happening. Fewer and fewer people were seeing the need for handmade idols. And so these businessmen, these silversmiths, were making a lot less profit. You have to realize that Paul didn't particularly go out against the silversmiths. He didn't pick at the souvenir shops or the factories they were made. He didn't walk around with a placard saying, stop buying, stop making idols. He didn't lead rallies through the streets with placards saying, don't worship the goddess Artemis. All he did was simply preached the message of Jesus. He shared with the people daily the good news of what Jesus has done for all mankind. The silversmiths were still stirred up to such a pitch that an uproar occurs. We read that. Two of Paul's friends are dragged to the theatre by this baying crowd. Some would suggest that there are up to 25,000 people as part of this mob that has suddenly gathered to drag these people away. Many, we read, not knowing why they were even there, but just caught up with the crowd, the baying crowd, that were dragging Paul's friends away. Paul is desperate to go with them. Paul's desperate to want to go and support his friends at this particular time, and possibly even sees it as an opportunity to preach to this great crowd that has gathered, but is persuaded by other believers and by the city officials that his presence would only add fuel to the situation and this already frenzied and out of control mob would do something horrible to him. And the fear would be that he would be arrested and executed himself before the authorities even got a chance to get anywhere near him. Even when Alexander, a Jew, tried to explain that the Jews were not supportive of Paul's teaching, it only succeeds in firing up the crowd even into even greater heights of praise for Artemis. And it is only the intervention of the city clerk that his statement that the believers were innocent of any crime, public or private, did the crowd disperse, probably believing that they had defended their famous goddess. They had done their part in ensuring that the goddess had been defended and the silversmiths would continue to be able to go on with selling. From then on, Paul went back to his plans and set out for Macedonia. The door of opportunity in Ephesus for this moment in time had closed. You have to remember, you can go to Ephesus today, but it is a mere ruin of what it was when we're reading about now. The city of Ephesus has crumbled and collapsed. The silversmiths and the work of the silver trade in that particular area is non-existent. But the gospel of God's grace, the same gospel message of grace that Paul was preaching on that occasion, the grace and the work of the church of Christ is still alive and still ministers and still serves in the world today. You see, the power of God's word is very powerful and mighty, and it has gone on from strength to strength, and we are part of that today, having heard for ourselves at some point in our lives the message of Jesus and his suffering and death and resurrection for each and us. We've heard that at some point. And at some point, we have accepted by faith Christ into our hearts and lives. And we are part of that way that continues to share this message in our world today. So what does it say for us today? In Haverhill, in 2018, what's it saying for us as a church here that I've come to share with, for our own Salvation Army, for St. Mary's, any church, any Christian church in this area? What does it mean for us today? I believe it says to me, when the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and present in power in the world today and in the lives of men and women and boys and girls, is faithfully preached, either spoken or by deed, living out the gospel message, living out the life of Jesus, being Christ in our world today, however that works out for you, I believe when that gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, it transforms lives. It changes people's lives, both of the one who is sharing the gospel, the hearers of the gospel, and the communities where that gospel is preached. I still believe in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to change and transform lives in our world today. And there are people who need to hear that gospel message. There are people who need transformed lives in our world and in our communities that we live in today. And I believe the preaching of the gospel in word or deed will transform those lives and communities. I believe it says to me today that following Jesus Christ, who is the way, who is the truth, and is the life, will take us into situations where we are frowned upon, where people will dislike us. People will find fault in us for our faith and the words we speak. And people will not want to hear what we have to say. It's no different today than it was 2,000 years ago. There are those who will receive and those who will oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ here in this community that we represent. I believe it says to me today that following Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, frees us of dependence on the need of false gods of our own culture today. And believing in Christ, being filled with his Spirit, makes the idols of power, materialism, greed, all unnecessary in the lives of his followers. We are filled instead with his love and compassion for a needy world. And I believe that this congregation, whether tonight or the one that met this morning, is full of the presence and the power of Jesus Christ, full of love and full of compassion for the community and the world in which they live. I believe it says to me today, in this place where we are, that the church needs to take risks. And that's where we came from earlier. The church needs to take risks. The church needs to speak up into situations that perhaps we're not speaking up and into at this particular time. Perhaps sometimes the church is too quiet in our response to particular situations that are going on in our world at this moment. I need the church today needs to take risks and be a voice for those people who are marginalized in our communities. We need to speak out against human trafficking, slavery in our world today. We rejoiced in Wilberforce a few years ago and 200 years of the abolition of slavery in the world. They may just as well have not signed the papers because there is as much slavery, if not more slavery, going on in our world today than there was in Wilberforce's time. We need to speak up. We need to challenge people on human trafficking and slavery. We need to speak up on poverty, on hunger. We need to be working in and working out the situation of homelessness in our communities today. We need to work at those things and speak up against those things that are not of Christ. If we are to be his hands and feet, if we're going to be his eyes and ears and his mouth in the world today, then we need to speak out. Just as those disciples had to in those early days. Speak out and speak up for Jesus Christ, because he is the transforming power for the world today. As individuals, perhaps we need to take risks in our faith and with our faith. Perhaps as individuals today, we need to take the risk and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, maybe with a neighbor, maybe with a friend, maybe even with someone who lives in our own family, even if it means facing apathy, mockery, or even hatred. We share God's truth, not men's lies. When we speak of Jesus Christ, it is God's word for today and the communities we live. Our motive in sharing that good news is love and not anger. And that the glory of anything that happens within that preaching goes to God and not to ourselves. We are followers of the way. Christ himself, the way, the truth, and the life. Let's be brave. Let's be brave. Let's take risks. Sharing a word with someone this week about what it means to come to this church and be part of this Christian fellowship. Share them something of the transformation it's made in your life. That once you were this person, but with the transforming power of Christ in your life, you are now this person because he's made a difference. He's changed your life. He's made it better. You're more loving, more compassionate, more caring. Share that with someone this week. They may not want to hear it, and they may not respond to it how we would want them to respond, but we have shared. And I believe when the gospel of Jesus Christ is shared, individuals, communities will be changed and God will be glorified. I wonder what risk you're willing to take this week for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Dear Father, I thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus. You knew we were separated from you by our sinfulness and our willingness to do things that which were not of you. I thank you loved us that you sent your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will receive everlasting life. And you bridged that gap. You transformed our lives. And you are working at making us the people that you want us to be. So, Father, I ask tonight that you will help us to be risk takers, both as individuals and as churches, that we will do your will and your purpose here on earth, and that we will serve you as you desire it of us. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the good news of Jesus, and pray that we will take that good news and proclaim it either through word or deed in our communities, in our families, within this church, today, during this coming week. Somehow, we will open our hearts and our ears for the opportunities that you give us to share your word with somebody. So be with us as we conclude our worship this evening, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.